Chapter 4. The Seven Potters. Harry ran back upstairs to his bedroom, arriving at the window just in time to see the Dursleys' car swinging out of the drive and off up the road. Daedalus's top hat was visible between Aunt Petunia and Dudley in the back seat. The car turned right at the end of Privet Drive. Its windows burned scarlet for a moment in the now setting sun, and then it was gone. Harry picked up Hedwig's cage, his firebolt and his rucksack, gave his unnaturally tidy bedroom one last sweeping look, and then made his ungainly way back downstairs to the hall, where he deposited cage, broomstick and bag near the foot of the stairs. The light was fading rapidly now, the hall full of shadows in the evening light. It felt most strange to stand here in the silence and know that he was about to leave the house for the last time. Long ago, when he had been left alone while the Dursleys went out to enjoy themselves, the hours of solitude had been a rare treat. Pausing only to sneak something tasty from the fridge, he had rushed upstairs to play on Dudley's computer or put on the television and flick through the channels to his heart's content. It gave him an odd, empty feeling to remember those times. It was like remembering a younger brother whom he had lost. "Don't you want to take a last look at the place?" he asked Hedwig, who was still sulking with her head under her wing. "We'll never be here again. Don't you want to remember all the good times? I mean, look at this doormat. What memories! Dudley puked on it after I saved him from the Dementors. Turns out he was grateful after all. Can you believe it? And last summer, Dumbledore walked through that front door." Harry lost the thread of his thoughts for a moment, and Hedwig did nothing to help him retrieve it, but continued to sit with her head under her wing. Harry turned his back on the front door. "And under here, Hedwig," Harry pulled open a door under the stairs, "is where I used to sleep. You never knew me then. Blimey, it's small. I'd forgotten." Harry looked around at the stacked shoes and umbrellas, remembering how he used to wake every morning, looking up at the underside of the staircase, which was more often than not adorned with a spider or two. Those had been the days before he had known anything about his true identity, before he had found out how his parents had died, or why such strange things often happened around him. But Harry could still remember the dreams that had dogged him, even in those days. Confused dreams, involving flashes of green light, and once, Uncle Vernon had nearly crashed the car when Harry had recounted it, a flying motorbike. There was a sudden deafening roar from somewhere nearby. Harry straightened up with a jerk and smacked the top of his head on the low doorframe. Pausing only to employ a few of Uncle Vernon's choicest swear words, he staggered back into the kitchen, clutching his head and staring out of the window into the back garden. The darkness seemed to be rippling, the air itself quivering. Then, one by one, figures began to pop into sight as their disillusionment charms lifted. Dominating the scene was Hagrid, wearing a helmet and goggles and sitting astride an enormous motorbike with a black sidecar attached. All around him, other people were dismounting from brooms and, in two cases, skeletal black-winged horses. Wrenching open the back door, Harry hurtled into their midst. There was a general cry of greeting as Hermione flung her arms around him. Ron clapped him on the back, and Hagrid said,
"All right, Harry, ready for the off?"
"Definitely," said Harry, beaming around at them all. "But I wasn't expecting this many of you." "Change of plan," growled Mad-Eye, who was holding two enormous bulging sacks, and whose magical eye was spinning from darkening sky to house to garden with dizzying rapidity.
"Let's get under cover before we talk you through it."